Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 6th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be along with a complete look at all the agricultural news for the day. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, Steve Hilberg will join us from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend and early next week. It all happens on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $4.64, unchanged. The March futures at $4.77.5, they were unchanged as well. May contract $4.74.5, down 3 cents for the day. December corn futures at $2.71, off 3/4. The March contract at $2.84, they were up 3/4. And May contract at $2.90.5, down 0.5 cent. December futures down 3.25 at $3.05.5. Soy complex now. November beans $5.64, a penny and a half lower. January futures at 2.25 lower, $5.77.75. And the March contract at $5.88.25, we're down 1.5. November beans at $6.20.5, we're down 3 cents. October bean meal $1.66, they were off $1.30. October bean oil at $24.00, up 18 cents. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange $1.13, 2.5 cents. And they were off 42.5 of the day at the Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, $90.87.5, down 47.5. December futures off 75 cents at $89.35. And the lean hogs finished the Octobers at $64.57.5. They were down 77.5 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does most Fridays here on AM 580, is Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Todd.
Hey, man, what a beautiful day to harvest. I know there were a lot of combines running as I made my way into work, a little bit late this morning. But it was just gorgeous, and I'll bet in your area they're rolling too.
Yeah, a lot of guys running today and this week. Really pleasantly surprised by the outcome of the weather, and Ed and Mike called that one really well as far as the rain getting out of there and the models being wrong. So they're pleasantly surprised. Hopefully it'll knock off some of their psychology. A lot of producers right now, when we talk to them on the phone, aren't real super happy about this futures rally, because quite frankly they wanted a better LDP and they wanted to be able to get a better grip and GRP insurance payoff. So I think they have a really tough time with how to handle this market, because it's hard to sell 260, 250 corn off the combine when you think it's got a lot more upside potential. I think it almost makes it easier when the prices are lower to make a sale and then know that you're at the bottom of the range and you can always re-own it, especially when you have LDP and counter-cyclical and these new crop insurance policies being so much part of your price.
Tell me a little bit about this, because as we take a look at the numbers for the day, and I just assume maybe ignore those because they show a down day for the corn. Wheat was unchanged to down. Beans were off as well. But if you start looking at the weekly changes, it tells an entirely different story. Futures for wheat up 21 cents in the Dees. July futures were up 8.5. Corn futures up 8.5 for the week for the nearby. The deferred only up 3 cents. Beans were up 16.5, and the Noves there for next year were up 10.5. The big story, I suppose, is still in the wheat pit, where, if my calculations are right, it's rallied more than 60 cents over the past 3 weeks in the nearbys, but July's for next year really haven't rallied nearly that much. So what's that telling us about this marketplace?
Well, the quick and dirty is that the funds are coming back into the wheat because they're so heavily long corn. And the reason that is because huge countries, huge producing countries like Australia continue to hear problems and lack of rain down there, and private estimates keep dropping the Australian crop to where now at the end of this week we're probably trading between a 10 and an 11 million metric ton crop going into USDA's report. So that's the big issue fundamentally, is that people just continue to see world supplies. It's almost as if every week between Argentina, Europe, the United States, and Australia, you see more and more supply get cut out by the private forecasters, and that's where the USDA report's going to be a big issue. But the other issue goes back to what's been traded, and there were quite a few locals at the Board of Trade and the wheat pits that were trading short D's, long July contracts, and they literally got trapped there this week. In fact, a Reuters story just came across the wires a few minutes ago that there might be several memberships sold by local traders in the wheat to pay for losses that they accrued. And I tell you, Todd, I heard numbers anywhere from $1 million per local trader to upwards of $25 million lost in the past couple weeks on that short East long July spread. And when that market rolled against them, it didn't stop. So there's a lot of cleanup there. We think that's pretty much done for as far as cleaning that mess up. And so that's probably a lot of the volatility that we saw yesterday and why we went limit up a couple days ago.
This is where the pits can turn pretty ugly, and I think things did come to fisticuffs maybe at one point in Chicago over some of those guys that were being trapped. And if Dave Dickey was telling me this, and I haven't seen the story, but apparently five of them were escorted out of the pits. Is that right?
That's the report. In fact, one of the folks that I know up there that's been a friend for a long time was next to a fellow that was, I don't know if he was one of the five or whatever, but he unconfirmed report, but he said to him, boy, there goes $3 million right there. And I just can't imagine having that type of pressure on you, and that's why we do what we do and try and manage risk. It's just a whole different world up there. It always has been and always will be.
Yeah, well, let's talk about pressure in a different place and maybe a little happier note, and move to the corn and the beans, where we did rally 8.5 cents in the December nearby this week. D07 corn was up 3 cents, so the spread was narrowing up between the deferred and the nearby. As we take a look at those numbers, the 07 settled at 305.5. And you said that, in fact, it was harder for guys to deal with this because 250 and 260 cash corn sounds pretty decent. I think the average cash price in Illinois is 247. I went to 249 a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what do these guys do? Because they really aren't looking at an LDP at this moment. And I don't know, are they looking at an LDP down the road at all?
I don't think so in corn. The best thing we can say to guys right now is in 1995, when we had a similar situation in wheat that we have right now, both globally and U.S. carryover-wise, in 1995 we had 426 million bushel carryover in corn compared to what we're looking at of 1.22 billion coming into the report. And I think that just has to be set down and said, okay, what's the upside potential of corn without the wheat helping it? And that's where it goes back to maybe we can with demand, and maybe the yields are off as much as maybe, you know, 2-3 bushels, you know, as far as the national trend yield, because farmers have been disappointed for whatever reason. So that gets you right around a billion bushel carryover. So what justifies a billion bushel carryover? And we'd say these corn futures at 280 to 285 is what the market can bear right now. 3 months down the road, that may not be the case, especially if the wheat crop gets tighter. But, you know, we're like a lot of analysts right now. We feel like we are buying some wheat acres, and the wheat's time is limited. In 1996, the vast majority of the rally was over by March, April of 1996. So we know we're on a timeline here to get some corn priced. Hopefully it can be at higher prices. But our quick and simple answer is, you got three times more stocks than you did in 1995. At 270, let another 10% increment go. That keeps you at about 20% unsold. We'll go ahead and move some more at 280 to 285 and then see what the report says.
And the report is due out next Thursday morning.
In fact,
there were some numbers this weekend. Former released a set of numbers. They're at 155.2 bushels to the acre and an 11.15 billion bushel corn crop. That's actually bigger than what USDA estimated in September at 11.14. So there's some discrepancies between what they're thinking and apparently what you're thinking in terms of the size of this crop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Informa, you know, traditionally, at least in my own personal experience, is usually usually on the high side of the corn and a little bit more accurate on the beans. But, you know, I'm just going by what the Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana farmers have said when they've gotten into their better, what they thought as better corn. It has performed a little bit better than their early stuff, especially if it was BT. But they have been a little bit more disappointed than I had expected. So I guess our mindset is, and what we've gone into the report and what we'll put on Dow Jones on Monday will be probably a 153.5 versus USDA's 154.7. So we're going to bring it down just a shade just to make the statement that maybe we had our biggest yield last month and then see how that shakes out. But clearly that Informa number we felt like, along with the bean two-sided trade yesterday, kind of made the trade step back and think a little bit. And you saw the DISO 7 corn really trade negatively these last couple days. That surprised us because we've been hearing that the Chicago people and funds and a lot of other folks out there really want to buy into the new crop because of the demand that we're going to be needing, especially if we have a little bit lower carryover coming down the pike here. But one thing that we forgot about was that most of the funds that are short are usually short in that, long are usually long in that new crop. And if they really want to participate, they've got to move into the front end just like they do in wheat. So that might actually be a good-looking market here where we're making that carrying charge a little bit less, and that makes the corn market look a little bit better longer term. So we're still in the mindset we're not buying a lot of corn acres right now, especially with new crop beans and new crop wheat.
And that was actually my next question for you. Was we heard earlier in the week that maybe all these corn acres have been bought already, but apparently you don't think that's the case.
Well,
right?
I'll tell you, the one thing we'd say is at 470 July wheat, we're buying wheat acres at at just under $6 May beans, we're buying South American bean acres. But when you look at no beans in July wheat compared to Dease corn, yes, we're on the low end of the ratio and low end of the spread, but given the situation of what we're going to need the next 2 or 3 years when these ethanol plants are literally built and running, we would say that old high, that 315, 320, still needs to be tested and probably even penetrated a little bit just to make the chart look a little cleaner.
Just so we're clear, you're buying wheat acres, are those out west, and you're buying South American bean acres at for NOV next year at this point, right?
You're starting to here at this May futures. We hit $6 today for a high in May. We think that would bring some of the CONAB people came out and said you're going to be down 7.5%. If we go above $6 in May beans, we suspect that you'll bring some of those acres back.
And you still say that we need to go to 315 at least before we start buying corn acres.
That's right. And when it goes back to the wheat, to answer your question, I think the wheat guys out west are pretty steady, aren't going to reduce much because they really don't have anything else to plant at this point. They have gotten some rains. Really, the big acreage increases, I'm really picking up strong, and the other fellows are picking up strong in the company, is Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. More and more clients have called in and say, hey, I can get 40 under for 07 wheat. And you take, 440 cash price or 430 cash price times 85-90 bushels, you're looking at as good a gross revenue as you would on beans, and it may just pay to go ahead and put the wheat in the bean stubble instead of planting the corn, especially if anhydrous prices don't come down.
We appreciate you being with us.
Have a great weekend, Todd.
You too. Mike Zuzla is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Friday afternoons.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing and Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
At the bottom of the hour, climatologist Steve Hilberg will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather. Ron Mike Sola says tonight, mostly clear skies, lows from 37 in eastern Indiana to 48 in southwestern Illinois. And tomorrow, sunny skies, highs will range from 66 in northeastern Indiana to 77 in western Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, the World Trade Organization and a pair of international development organizations have scheduled meetings next week aimed at convincing Latin American nations of the value of liberalized agricultural trade. A second goal is to persuade Latin American nations to join efforts to restart the stalled Doha round. Meanwhile, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says the U.S. is still waiting for other nations to offer up new market access proposals.
We helped set the stage for the U.S. to make a tremendously remarkable, bold proposal about 1 year ago. Now, it's disheartening that other countries have not yet matched our ambition.
Meanwhile, Russia and the U.S. will discuss Russia's desire to join the World Trade Organization at meetings next week in Geneva, Switzerland. Russia says it has completed bilateral talks with 55 of the 58 members expressing interest in Russia's WTO membership request. In addition to the U.S., Russia needs to complete negotiations with Moldova and Georgia. Previous talks with the U.S. have proved difficult for Russia. U.S. officials are unhappy about agricultural market access to Russia, as well as piracy and copyright violations. The U.S. also wants direct entry for its banks and insurance companies in Russia. The National Association of Wheat Growers sent a message to Congress yesterday to increase farm subsidies for wheat in the 2007 Farm Bill. The NAWG approved a resolution calling for the wheat target price to be increased $1.37 to $5.29 a bushel, and direct payments be raised from 52 cents to $1.19 a bushel in the next Farm Bill. The Executive Director of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation says if Democrats gain control of the House or Senate in November, it's unlikely that the lame duck session will produce sweeping agricultural reform. Mark Maslin says bills like the Water Resources Development Act would be pushed forward into the new legislative session if the GOP loses control of Congress.
There's a tendency to say, you know, let's just hold off. We'll rewrite the immigration bill or the WERDA bill or the Outer Continental Shelf drilling bill the way we want to do it. There would be less of incentive for them to come together in a lame duck session if there's a dramatic change in the makeup of the Congress.
Lawmakers will need to return to Capitol Hill after the November elections to consider the majority of the appropriations bills for fiscal year 2007. Officials at the National Chicken Council's annual conference say at some point there will be bidding wars to see whether corn will head to ethanol or livestock feed. NCC officials say the expanding ethanol market will force chicken producers to pay more and compete harder for the corn feed they need. NCC officials say to ensure there's enough corn for ethanol and feed, the U.S. needs to take 35 million acres of land out of the Conservation Reserve Program. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, even if the WTO agreement on agriculture fails, it and other trade agreements will force changes in the 2007 version of the U.S. Farm Bill. As you'll hear, it all starts with NAFTA. NAFTA was written in the early 1990s. The North American Free Trade Agreement liberalized trade between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Its final stage of implementation goes into force January the 1st, 2008. And as much as any other agreement, finalized or not, Bob Thompson says NAFTA will force Congress to open rather than simply extend the current Farm Bill.
Now, there are several things that are going to have to change in the be changed in that next Farm Bill. One of those is our sugar program. January 1, 2008, the North American Free Trade Agreement is fully implemented, and on that date, Mexico will have full and unfettered access to the U.S. market for sugar exports with no limits. And our sugar program will become unsustainable on January 1st, 2008. So there's going to have to be change in that. There are two other areas that the Farm Bill is going to have to be reopened in.
One of these, says the farm policy expert from the University of Illinois, is an adjustment to the cotton program. It is a direct result of the WTO ruling against the United States. The third, says Bob Thompson, also comes from the WTO, the organization's current rules on agriculture, written primarily by the United States and the European Union negotiators in the 1990s, forbids a government from limiting what crops can be planted on a piece of property or receiving a government subsidy, like a direct payment. Vegetable crop acres in the United States are not eligible for a direct payment. It was one of the compromises made in a previous farm bill to protect vegetable crop growers from competition. If the compromise goes away, Bob Thompson says those veggie growers will want a piece of the direct payment dollars in return.
We'll see how much or how that plays out. So we've got sugar, cotton, and the fruit and vegetable exclusion on direct payments that are all going to have to be addressed in the 2007 Farm Bill. So those who say don't reopen it, just extend the 2002 bill, that's impossible. It's got to be reopened. So once you've opened the door a crack, the only question is how wide is it going to be pushed open by all the other interests that are discussing a plethora of alternatives to the current programs.
Here's one thing the U of I's Bob Thompson does not think will change in the next farm bill. He says there will be a huge amount of rhetoric that farmers need to address the growing deficit. In the end, he believes the amount of money allocated to agriculture by Washington will not change. How it is distributed across the nation probably will. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincolnland Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Farmers are rolling in your area?
It's beginning to look a lot like harvest out there.
I bet it is, and you're busy there, I bet, at the elevator, aren't you?
Yes, a good run here. We're still going stronger, I would say, on soybeans than on corn. I'd guess somewhere in the 40-plus percent range harvested on beans right now. Corn, probably 10 to 15%.
We've heard farmers have been disappointed in some areas. How about in yours?
I would say no, not right in our area. Corn is probably yielding a little worse than it did last year, but I think that was expected. Beans doing better than last year, in a lot of cases probably best bean yields ever.
And then tell me how the cash bids have changed over the past week.
Well, with the board rallying, and we've seen some kind of a mixed bag on basis, Gulf market has been strong. It backed off a little bit this week with some of the increase in harvest going on out there, but there's still not a whole lot of cash moving. Soybeans, we've seen some processor improvement here in the last day or so. So looks like beans are continuing to come in at a rapid rate, but getting put away and not sold.
Are you surprised the cash corn hasn't been sold?
Not really on the corn so much. I mean, we have had so much talk about the demand side pull towards the tail end of the year, and there was such a big carry in the market, it made sense to put away everything that can be put away. And we had a pretty good book going on into harvest that we had sold, you know, farmers had sold in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Soybeans, we're seeing some cash movement on the rally. I guess that's the one that surprises me the most, with a 600 million bushel carryout out here, that we haven't seen more soybeans selling.
All right, and then your bids for the day.
We are at $2.54 on corn and $5.40 on beans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens on Friday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Members of AFSCME Local 698 will vote in 3 weeks whether to accept a contract proposal from the University of Illinois or go on strike. Union President Jim McGuire says the membership's willingness to hold out for a better offer has paid off, but he says the administration's 3-year proposal still fails to provide enough money for workers in the second and third years. The union vote is set for October 25th. Champaign Mayor Jerry Schweinhardt has suspended the liquor license of a campus town bar for 2 days next week. Schweinhardt, who's also city liquor commissioner, says he's punishing the White Horse Inn for a violation last May when some employees were found to be drinking on the job. The top federal prosecutor in central Illinois now has been officially appointed to that job. Roger Heaton was initially appointed U.S. Attorney for Illinois Central District last December. Last week, the U.S. Senate confirmed the appointment, and this week, President Bush signed Heaton's commission. Congressman John Shimkus says Senator Dick Durbin and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi owe him an apology. Shimkus heads the House Page Board and has been criticized by the two Democrats for not doing enough to protect Pages from the sexual advances of former Congressman Mark Foley. But the Collinsville Republican says a letter from the family of a House page who reported getting improper emails from Foley corroborates his timeline of events and proves there wasn't a cover-up. Both Shimkus and the family say they believed improper conduct between Foley and Pages had stopped. The Illinois Department of Agriculture says more than 3,700 pounds of sliced roast beef has been recalled because it may be contaminated with listeria. The department's Bureau of Meat and Poultry says the voluntary recall involves fully cooked beef produced September 27th by Portillo's Food Service in Chicago. The meat was distributed through some Portillo's restaurant outlets in the Chicago area. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
The director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg, joins us now from the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing, Todd?
I'm very well this afternoon. Gorgeous day. The rain that was supposed to come in sort of dissipated, didn't manage to make it through.
Yeah, we didn't get a whole lot out of that. About a half inch or so around parts of Champaign County, but when all was said and done. But most of the rain this week was concentrated up in northeastern Illinois, and concentrated is probably the right word. They got hammered up in northeastern Illinois and northwestern Indiana with up to 3 to 4 inches of rain in a very short time period early this week. But that probably is about the only significant rain this week throughout Illinois and Indiana. Most of Illinois and southern Indiana didn't see much at all, just some scattered showers in areas, and for the most part, things have been dry for the last week or two.
Am I right that scattered precipitation is the word for the coming week as well?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see much early in the week. Our best chances are going to be ahead of this next cold front, which, by the way, looks to be rather significant in the Wednesday-Thursday time frame. I would hazard a guess right now the growing season will be ending across Illinois and Indiana on Thursday-Friday time period, somewhere at the end of the week here with this cold outbreak. It does appear rather substantial. The models have been indicating it now for several days without much of a change other than oscillating on intensity a bit. So that looks like our best opportunity for rain will be with that cold front, and then probably be fairly dry after that.
Ahead of that, though, for the weekend, things looking good?
Yeah, it looks really nice. We'll see a little bit of warming tomorrow and again on Sunday, a little bit cooler on Monday and Tuesday because there will be a weak front coming through. But temperatures really will be around normal the early part of the week, and then warm up again prior to this next front on Wednesday, and then we'll have to break out the warm weather gear or cold weather gear because it's going to be rather cold at the end of the week, and it looks like it's going to stay on the cold side for the foreseeable future after that.
Yeah, do I see the word? Actually, I do see the word in the forecast here. Arctic air will invade the region. Are you agree with that? Are we going to freeze possible next weekend?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think we'll be getting a freeze next weekend. If things hold up like they're looking right now, I don't think there's any question that we'll see the growing season end here, and it will be cold. They may be overdoing the cold air a bit on the models, but nevertheless, it's going to be substantially colder than we've been used to. As warm as it was last week, above normal, 20 to 25 degrees, it could be that much below normal by next weekend.
Oh, a nice swing. Welcome to the Midwest, Illinois and Indiana, right?
In autumn, you bet.
You bet. Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Okay, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the Midwestern Regional Climate Center Director, and he's located at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. And And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week, when our guest will be Doug Yoder of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture, Commodity Week, airs at 11:30 Central. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up where? At WILLAG.org. Should be posted by about 6 o'clock on the website tonight. You have a great afternoon and a very safe harvest weekend. Take a nap in the afternoon out there, and that'll help you along all through the harvest season, I guarantee it. It's recommended by the professionals and scientists here at the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason.